Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. For the next 2 weeks, Pardes is bringing Purim to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, this is Nechama Goldman Barish coming to you from Jerusalem. We are picking up in the middle of chapter 2 in the Tractate of Megillah with the fourth Mishnah. Hakol ksherin likrot et haMegillah chutz mecheresh shota vekatan. Rabbi Yehuda machshir bekatan, ein korin et haMegillah velo malin velo tovlin velo mazin vekein shomer et yom keneged yom lo titbol ad shetanetz hachama vekulan sheasu mishe'ala amud hashachar kasher. So the Mishnah starts off by saying everyone is fit to read the Megillah. Usually, everyone is fit means there are some exceptions, and this is no exception. Everyone is fit to read the Megillah except for a cheresh, a deaf mute, a shota, someone who's cognitively impaired, and a minor. Rabbi Yehuda machshir bekatan. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and said, no, a minor is fit to read the Megillah if he's literate. The second part of the Mishnah is going to take us in a slightly different direction. One may not read the Megillah, nor perform a circumcision, a brit milah, nor immerse in a mikvah, a ritual bath, nor sprinkle water of purification to purify people and objects that contracted tum'ah because they came into contact with a corpse until after sunrise. In other words, the Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah, brings a series of rituals which must be done after sunrise. Reading the Megillah, circumcision cannot be done at night. One cannot immerse for certain types of impurity. Of course, a woman who immerses to become sexually permitted after her period and counting 7 days clean of bleeding actually has to immerse at night. So that's a different kind of tefillah. Here we're talking about the kind of tefillah that has to do with corpse impurity. And then it's going to bring a few more examples until sunrise. And then the Mishnah asks, wait a minute, what if these people preempted a little and started at dawn? And Amud HaShachar is before Netz HaChama. And is it valid? Do we consider breaking dawn, the break of dawn, to already be enough of day to permit the circumcision that takes place just at the breaking of dawn? Or the reading of the Megillah. Someone was eager to finish this mitzvah early because they had other things to do. And the Mishnah basically says, b'dieved, they are valid. In the end, we'll consider it valid because at that point, it's already considered to be daytime. Okay, we're going to come back to that towards the end of our analysis of this Mishnah. So let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked about all our able to read the Megillah except for the Cheresh Shota Katan, the deaf mute, the Shota, the cognitively impaired, and the minor. Well, what about women? What obligation do women have in the commandment to read the Megillah? From the language of the Mishnah, it suggests that women are fully obligated because they're not exempt. And yet women are at times grouped, especially with minors, but also with the Cheresh and the Shota when talking about their exemptions. So in some way, it's a little surprising that they're obligated in Megillah, since generally speaking, women are exempted from mitzvot aseh, shazman, grama, positive commandments that are dependent on time. For instance, women are not obligated to sit in a sukkah on Sukkot. They're not obligated to wear tzitzit or tefillin, which are only done during the day. Based on this principle, we would anticipate that women would not be obligated in the mitzvot of Purim either. In the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi teaches us that women are obligated to hear the reading of the Megillah, she'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, because they were included as partners in the miracle of the salvation of Purim. There's a difference of opinion regarding this teaching. According to Rashi and most of the commentaries, Jewish women were included in Haman's decree of destruction and are therefore obligated to participate in the Thanksgiving festivities that celebrate the rescue of the Jewish people. Rav Hai Gaon, the Rashbam, who is Rashi's grandson, and others argue that the Gemara's intent is that Jewish women played a crucial role in the miracle, in that it was a woman, Esther, who orchestrated the events that led to Haman's discovery and hanging. In either case, it is clear to all that women are obligated in the mitzvot of the day. There is one other explicit mention of women's obligation in Megillah reading in the Babylonian Talmud worth noting. It appears in the Tractate of Erech in 2b, where it is written, all are fit to read the Megillah to include what? to include women. Like the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, as he said, women are obligated in the reading of Megillah, since they too were included in the miracle. So this piece of Gemara is explicit that women are fit to read the Megillah, and they bring the explanation I brought above in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, because women were included in the miracle. Nonetheless, the question of women in Megillah is the source of dispute that continues until this day. According to Rashi and Maimonides, it appears that women are obligated in reading the Megillah and therefore can read for men as well. Equal obligation means equal opportunity. The Meiri and the Ritva, two medievalists, alongside Rashi and Maimonides, rule that women are obligated in the mitzvah, true, but they nevertheless cannot read for men because of external reasons. For example, it's not kvod hatzibur, it's not appropriate for the honor of the community for women to play such a public role. This, however, would certainly allow women to read for other women as long as men were not present. Finally, there are those who suggest that women cannot read for others, possibly including other women, because their obligation is not to read the Megillah, but only to hear the Megillah, which is kind of a secondary obligation, not as central as the obligation to read the Megillah. The last 25 years have seen an enormous increase in Megillah readings, whereby women read for women. There are also some communities in which men and women read the Megillah together. The second half of the Mishnah defines the onset of day as sunrise and the time in which certain rituals can occur, including the obligation to read Megillah during the day. The other examples have nothing to do with Purim, but are linked thematically by the necessity for defining the beginning of day. The last line tells us that even if the person performed the ritual at dawn, it is in the end considered part of day rather than night and counts. We're going to continue in the next two Mishnayot about mitzvot that must be done during the day or alternatively only during the night, and we'll talk a little bit about the need for time management, for time awareness that is so central in the way we structure our lives and particularly our religious lives. Okay. Day mitzvot cannot be done during the night, nor night mitzvot during the day, as we're going to discover when we read the Mishnayot. What I want to call your attention to is an integration in these two Mishnayot between mitzvot that are relevant today and mitzvot that are temple-based. I find this to be an important religious pedagogical approach in which past, present, and future merge seamlessly in the Mishnah, and this is not unusual to these Mishnayot, sending the important message that while we no longer have the temple, we are still blessed and equipped with equally meaningful ways to serve God and keep Torah. We're now going to read Mishnah 5, the fifth Mishnah in chapter 2. Kol hayom kasher lekriyat haMegillah veLekriyat haHalel veLetkiyat shofar veLenitilat lulav veLetfilat haMusafin veLeMusafin uLevidoy haParim uLevidoy haMaaser uLevidoy yom haKippurim leSmicha leShchita leTnufa leHagasha leKmitza uLeHaktara leMlika uLeKabala uLeHazaya uLeHashkayat Sota veLeArifat haEgla uLeTaharat haMitzora. So now let's get into the translation. So the entire day, from sunrise to sunset, is valid for reading the Megillah, for reciting Hallel when it's a day in which Hallel must be recited, for sounding the shofar, for taking the lulav. These are all mitzvot that must be done during the day. For the additional prayers, the Musaf prayer recited on Shabbat can only be cited during the day, or the Musaf prayer on the festivals, on Yom Tov, only during the day. If you miss that window, you can't say Musaf. Also, and now we move into the world of temple, the additional offerings sacrificed in the temple, the Musafin, that's why the prayer is called a Musaf, it's modeled in parallel to the Musaf offering, and so that is also only done during the day, and the entire day is valid for the confession over the bulls brought by the Sanhedrin or by the high priest to atone for mistakes that were made in their instructions to the people, for the declaration made on the last day of Passover stating one's obligations with regard to tithes have been properly fulfilled, and this is done in the fourth and seventh year of the sabbatical cycle, for the confession of sins made by the high priest on Yom Kippur over the special offering brought on that day. Also during the day, that's when you place hands on the head of an offering, slaughter the offering, waving those offerings that require waving, bringing the meal offerings near to the altar, scooping out a fistful of flour from a meal offering in order to burn it,
burning the fistful of flour, pinching the necks of the turtle doves and young pigeons, receiving the blood of an offering, sprinkling the blood on the altar, and so on and so on and so forth. A few more examples are brought about giving the woman suspected by her husband of having been unfaithful this sotah to drink from the bitter waters, breaking the neck of the heifer as part of the procedure, the egla arufa, followed when a corpse is found outside of the town and it's not known who caused his death, and all the steps in purifying the mitzora, the leper. So all of these rituals are done only during the day. Now, correspondingly, in the next Mishnah, we're going to have rituals that are only done at night. Kol halayla kasher l'ktzirat ha'omer u'lehekter chalavim. Ve'evarim zeh haklal davar shemitzvato b'yom kasher kol hayom davar shemitzvato b'layla kasher kol halayla. So finally, the entire night is valid for other mitzvot, specifically reaping the omer of barley on the night following the first day of Passover, burning the fats of the offering that were brought during the day, and burning the limbs of the burnt offerings. And this last line is so relevant for us. Davar shemitzvato b'layla kasher kol halayla. Davar shemitzvato b'yom kasher kol hayom. I actually just read it out of order. We can go back to earlier in the chapter. Does it count if I read lines of a Mishnah l'mafreya out of order? I think for our purposes, it does. And so something that is a mitzvah for the day can only be performed during the day. That is when it's valid. Something that's a mitzvah to perform at night is valid if performed any time during the entire night. I would conclude by saying that there are things that we do that are time sensitive. And if we miss the deadline, we can no longer do them. Perhaps the opportunity will come on the next day or the next night or the next year during the month, as with Lulav or with Omer. But awareness of time is essential in order to live a life filled with structure, boundaries, and meaning. Thank you for joining me, and I hope to meet again in the next podcast when we begin Chapter 3.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty. And a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.